Praise the Lord. Well, we just welcome those of you that are visiting Family Church for the first time. We're just so glad to have new faces with us, and we welcome you. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here, our associate pastor, Pastor Brad Hofer. We're just glad to see you. We know that God's got an awesome plan for your life. He tells us over there, Jeremiah 29:11. He says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. God's got good in store for you. And that's what we get into here at Family Church, the blessed plan that God already has for your life. You know, so many people, I say this a lot, but people, you know, they come to God and they say, God, this is what I want to do. Please bless it. And God's saying, listen, I've already got a blessed plan for your life. Find that plan, do that plan, because all the blessing is already built into it. Amen. So that's what we're here to do. We're here to submit our plans before the plan of God, meaning we yield to His plan over what we thought we should do, right? Amen. The Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God, right? We're His family, but we're going to have to listen to the Father's voice. Amen. Praise God. Well, it's so good to see you all here today. You didn't come in with a turkey lull today, did you? You know, I've noticed in years past that the Sunday after Thanksgiving, some people kind of come in and they're burning off some extra calories, you know what I mean? And the calories are working on them. Well, listen, you know, we come to church and we're going to respond and we're going to participate. You know, we don't have the turkey lull here. You know, some people might come to church and say, well, I'm just going to coast through this service because I had a lot of, you know, visitors. I had company, family in for the holiday and all this stuff and ate a lot of food and probably way too many desserts than you should have. And, you know, and people just think they're going to coast. No, we're not here to coast here today, you know. And the worship team, of course, does a great job breaking the turkey lull off, but if there's any of that remaining, we're going to crack it off with a word. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, don't give your best to the holidays and then come into church and try to coast through it. No. I'll tell you what, we don't honor the turkey in the gathering over, you know, over our appointment with God. So we're going to have church here today. Time of heaven on earth. Glory to God. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to call this message this morning the legal facts of redemption. The legal facts of redemption. You know, you cannot preach on redemption enough. You know, God's people need to hear constantly, a constant feeding of what our redemption is and what it includes and what it means to be the redeemed of the Lord. Right? The Bible says in Psalm 107 verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So obviously you need to know what redemption is if you're going to say so. You need to know what you're redeemed from, right? You need to know, right? Because you got to say so. Redemption requires a voice, but if you don't know what it is, how are you going to put voice to what you don't know, right? So we're going to talk about the legal facts. When I say legal facts, because in the mind of God, it is a done, settled fact. Yes. You know, God operates on a system of love, but He also operates on a system of covenant. And a system of a legally binding agreement that whatever God says He's going to do, He is bound to His word. He will perform it. He's not a man that He should lie, nor the son of man that He repents. God doesn't take back His word. The Bible says the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable, right? What He says He's going to do, He's going to do it. It's never on God's side if something fails to come to pass, right? It's on our side. So we're going to talk about redemption. Because there's a lot of God's people that see themselves as sinners. They see themselves as shameful, you know, or worthless, or they're guilt-ridden, right? They're defeated or deflated, you know. And the problem all begins is that they see themselves in the first place. They're looking at the wrong thing. You know, there is no doubt that we are going to be very mindful of our own failures at times, our own faults. Things that aren't necessarily wrong, but just little hiccups in our personalities, things that we've let slip, maybe things that we've gotten distracted with, things that maybe, you know, your past, you know, things that you just missed it, things that you didn't do the best on, right? You know, no doubt, I don't know about you, and I've said this before, but the more I examine myself, the least impressed I become. Have you realized that? I mean, the more you spend time with God and you realize that anything good in your life was just a result of His word, His grace, His goodness, that you did not manufacture it yourself, you know? Have you seen how unimpressive you are yet? And if you're here today and you are impressed with yourself, then we got some work to do. But here's the thing, is that we, you know, so many people, they see themselves as something, you know? And that's the problem, is that they see themselves at all. We're not to see ourselves, we're to see the Lord. We don't view ourselves through ourselves, we view ourselves through the redemption that Christ purchased us. And I'll tell you what, a revelation of redemption is what changes your life. See, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people out there that they're trying to change. If you're trying to change, forget it. You won't. Whoa. You know, people say, I got some New Year's resolutions coming up, you know. Well, you know, that's a month from today. You can start those, but I'll just tell you right now, they won't work. You might as well not call them a New Year's resolution. You might as well just call them the first 2 weeks of January resolution. Because that's what they are. It's not a resolution. You know, it's just a suggestion. That's all it is. You're just telling yourself that if I put it off into the new year, that it'll all be better in the future, and that's when things will get straightened out. See, people that try to change, they don't change. But people that believe that they already are changed by virtue of what God did at the cross, that is what changed your life. I'm not getting changed as a, you know what I mean? Right. You know, and I'm not making plans to change. I believe that I already am. Yes. And when you believe you already are, that's when things around you are going to start to look different. Yes. See, remember, everything that God does, everything that He plans and ordains, His purposes are always based on a faith basis. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Faith means that you believe it's already done.
That's right?
Right? Yes. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. We saw over there in Hebrews 4:3 last week that the works were already done before the foundations of the earth. Yes. Glory to God. Everything that God has planned for your life is already planned.
That's right. That's
the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works that He has foreordained, or the NIV says prearranged in advance for us to walk into.
Yes.
And it says good things, right?
Right.
James 1:17, every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no shadow, variableness or shadow of turning. There's no darkness in Him at all, right? He says, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope in a future. God said, I already got a blessed plan for your life.
Yeah.
But it doesn't start to happen until you say, I already am changed.
Right.
People say, I'm trying to change. What you're really saying is you're trying to change yourself. You know, these motivational speakers in the world, you know, you see, there's a real, it's kind of coming up in our society again, where these people are, they're out there seeking motivational speakers. And these guys are talking about the power of you. You know, you can do it, and you got the power, and you. Well, they're basically just trying to puff people up, saying that you can be impressive. No, you won't be impressive. God's not impressed. God's not impressed with what we say and do. He's impressed with what He's already done and what we believe He's already done. Amen?
Amen.
Redemption is believing that God the finished work of redemption. It's a settled fact. It's done. Glory to God. Your change is not wrought sometime in your future. Your change was wrought in the past when Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And now how God sees you, how He views you, until you get a revelation that, oh, you're going to get something good today. I just don't want to preach my whole sermon in the introduction here. Glory to God. Stop seeing yourself as shameful, as guilty, you know. People have this idea, they say that Christians are still sinners. No, Christians, yes, they can commit sin. Christians can disobey God. We've all done it, even as Christians. But in the sense of being viewed as a sinner, God does not see you as a sinner.
That's right.
He He calls you, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we'll look at it here in a few minutes, he says that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How can you be the righteousness of God and a sinner at the same time? No, see, God has decided how to look at you. He made a decision in his mind to look at you through the prism of Jesus Christ. And until you start seeing your life through the prism of Jesus Christ, it's not going to change. So let's get into it, shall we? Have you found Galatians chapter 2? We're going to go to a familiar scripture, verse 20. Praise the Lord. All right. When we read Galatians 2:20, know that every promise in God's word is a legally binding arrangement to you.
Yes, it is.
From God to you, it is a legally binding agreement that this is how God has agreed to view your life.
That's right.
Oh, come on, you're going to get excited about this because our redemption is an exciting thing. All right, let's read Galatians 2:20. Paul, the apostle, of course, inspired of the Holy Spirit, he says this. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Glory to God. This is a redemption scripture. It is legally binding if you'll believe it. God's already said it. He's already agreed to see you this way. Now your job is just to simply believe it and to put voice to it. Amen. All right, I'm going to give you at least three things today, three legal facts of our redemption, of how God sees us. Number one, are you ready? The Lord's crucifixion was our crucifixion. Hallelujah. The Lord's crucifixion was your crucifixion and my crucifixion. He says, I am crucified with Christ. I love how Paul says that. He says, I am crucified. Glory to God. When Jesus died on the cross, God decided to legally view you as dead on the cross. You say, oh my goodness, thanks, Pastor, that's really good news. Oh, it's going to be great news. It's not just great news, it's the best news there is, right? Jesus was our legal representative, okay? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he tasted death for all men, or on the behalf of all men. Now, doesn't this work in our legal system? Can't you be in court without being in court? Yeah. You can send your lawyer to court. And when your representative goes to court, right, the court system views it. Now, there's times when they require you to be there. But there are times when the legal system will count it as you being there. And legally speaking, not necessarily, you know, physically speaking, but legally speaking, they view you as being there and being present. In the same way, God legally decided to see you on the cross. He legally decided that when Jesus died, he legally said that was your death. That Jesus tasted death for all men. Yes, it's true, our natural bodies are going to die someday if the Lord tarries, okay? The Bible tells us that. We know that, okay? But obviously there's something more to life than just flesh. You know, there's more to life than just having a heartbeat or air in your lungs, right? There's more to life than that. Amen. Because there's people out there that are alive naturally, but they're really dead. They're dead spiritually. They have not received the new life of Christ. And so they're dead spiritually, even though their bodies might be alive. They don't have any joy or any hope until they receive Jesus. And that's our job to tell them. Amen? See, when Christ died, God decided to see it. He made up his mind to see you as dead. Oh, Pastor, that's not exactly the greatest news. No, because there's some real benefits to being dead. Okay, I understand. That sounds funny. Yeah. Okay. Work with me here. See, the fact of the matter is that dead people have all debts canceled.
Yeah, come on.
Dead people don't have any debt anymore. Come on now. Everything they owed is now washed. Glory to God. It's all canceled. They owe nothing, regardless of how maybe reckless they were at one time in their past. Isn't that what we are? We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, even though we had recklessness in our past. Glory to God. So when people, when you get home or when you see your family these holidays, say, what's that church teaching down there? You say, well, glory to God, they're teaching me that I'm dead. You'll understand, because it doesn't end there. We received, you know, Christ tasted death for us so that we could receive a new life. We're going to get to that, right? We no longer have any debt with God. Oh, come on now. This is why people in this earth are so depressed. This is why they have no peace in their life. This is why they run from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. They're trying to find peace through, you know, success, through money, through achievement, and they never are settled. They never have any joy. They're never satisfied. They're never fulfilled. Okay? Yeah. Because, see, until your debt, until you know that your debt with God is paid, until you're in a place where you owe nothing to God.
That's right. Good. That's right. Come on.
No, get a hold of it. You owe God nothing anymore. Your debt with God, the debt that was racked up as a result of all your sin, has been completely paid.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
You
That's
went
right.
from the red to the black. Because
right. yes.
not only are you debt-free, you're not just on ground zero with God, but He moved you into what the Bible says, the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You went from being in the red to being exceedingly abundantly rich.
Yes.
You say, well, Pastor, here you are telling me that I'm rich. I don't have any money. See, your problem is that you think that richness is just a money thing. No.
Come on.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah, God does prosper us financially. But see, when you're thinking that wealth is just a matter of money, then you'll never have any.
Yes.
You might have money, but you won't have wealth.
Very good.
Because wealth is obviously a bigger concept than just having money. Because if wealth was just having money, then there's a lot of people in corporate America, there's a lot of people in the entertainment industry that would be wealthy. They might be wealthy by the world's standards, but they are not wealthy by God's standards. Glory to God. See, people think that money makes them happy. That's not true. Money comes to those who already are. Yeah, that's right. People need to get a hold of that. Say, well, you know, my problems would be solved if I had more money. No. No, they wouldn't. You know? Come on now. Some of you are thinking, well, I don't know. I'd sure like to give it a try. Well, why don't you just get into a place of peace with God?
That's it. Come on.
And watch your needs get met exceedingly abundantly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. This is why people have no peace or joy in their life. They still have a debt with God, and they're spending their whole life running from it. Yeah. And there's even believers that don't have this revelation, that they're still serving God from a place of paying back a debt. Oh, now don't misunderstand me when I say this. We talked about this last week. When we pray, it's got to be with the right motive. I don't pray to pay God back for something. I don't praise and worship to pay Him back. I don't go to church to pay Him back. I go to church because He won me with His love. He did such an amazing thing for us that His love drew me to Him. Glory to God. I don't pray. I don't read my Bible. I don't meditate in the Scripture. I don't memorize Scripture. I don't go to Sunday school. I don't do these things to try to pay God back. That's doubt and unbelief. If you're trying to pay God back, you are saying that the sacrifice of Jesus wasn't enough. I don't tithe to pay God back. I don't give offerings to pay God back. I give because He won me with His love. I want to have a relationship. I want to honor Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, dead people are also free from the opinions of others.
Yes, they are.
Don't matter what people think about him anymore. Right? Seriously. If you've been crucified, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I have no debt anymore with God. I am not held to the opinions of man. Why? Because you're dead. He said, I'm crucified. Some of you are held by the opinions of people. But if you're dead, the opinions of people don't matter. People say, I don't know. I don't believe this business and I'm dead. That's wrong. Can we bring up Colossians 3:3 real quick? Let's just bring up another scripture so you know I'm just not making something up here. For you are dead. You are. And your life, wait, I thought I was dead. For you are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God.
Yes.
Meaning you, the old you, dead, gone, buried, you are free from all debt with God. You are free from all debt with people's opinions and what they think about you. Glory to God, I don't care what people think. I don't care what people say. Because my life is gone, and my life is just hidden with Christ and gone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Dead people are impervious to the elements of the world. Can't kill a dead man. No, get a hold of this. You have received such life that no death can have its way over you. You say, well, wait a minute, I'm naturally going to die. Yeah, okay. See, you're constantly bringing it back into the natural realm. Well, my body's going to die, I'm getting older, and this and that, and so on. And well, yeah, we will all face natural death unless Jesus returns, okay? But here's the thing. No element in the world can steal the life that you have. If you lose your natural life, you just go into a greater form of life. Glory to God. How awesome this redemption thing is. That when this body grows old and is ready to, you know, like when we exit this body, we just go to a higher form of life.
So,
it's promotion. Paul said over there in Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Hallelujah. How what an awesome thing that even natural death can be a promotion. I'm going to be promoted in this life. We're going to go from glory to glory in this life. And then when you step out of this body, you're going to go to a higher form of glory. It's always upward. It's always higher. It's always getting better with God. You can't stop redemption. You can't stop it. Once redemption is released in the heart of someone who believes it, they're immortal. You're unstoppable. It has no bearing. No matter anything in this life has no bearing on it. Can't stop it.
That's right. That's so good.
Can't stop it. Can't stop it. No, you got to understand. You know, of course, you know, recently we had a loss of a dear minister friend, Dr. Dufresne. And, you know, of course, that natural loss is there. But at the same time, didn't stop him.
No, it
didn't stop him. Amen. He just got promoted. You know, well, it came to a sad end. No, it didn't come to a sad end. He got promoted. Redemption.
Yes.
Glory to God.
That's right.
You can't stop someone who's got an accident does not stop somebody who has a revelation of redemption. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Dead people are impervious to the elements of the world. Can't kill a dead man. Can't kill him. I've already been crucified. There's nothing the devil can do to me that can hurt me now because I've survived the crucifixion with Christ.
That's right. Yes. Come on.
I was on the cross.
Yes.
I went to the grave with Jesus.
Yes.
I descended into the lower parts of the earth with Jesus.
That's right.
I was there when he kicked the snot out of the devil, and I was there with him when he came out of the grave.
Yes.
Glory to God. So there's nothing the devil can do to me unless he can defeat the risen Jesus. It's impossible for him to defeat the risen Jesus.
That's right.
And so therefore, it's impossible to defeat me. It's impossible to defeat you. Say, well, what do you mean, Pastor Tim, someday, you know, when we finally barely get along in the dim shadows of this life grow long and we go on to glory. Well, you better give up that religious thinking. There's no dim shadows here, unless you believe there is. You know, of course, I'm not saying that the earth is a flowery, pretty place all the time. Of course, we know it's not. But people live life with a mentality that, woe is me, I'm just dragging along as a pilgrim, and one glad day when it finally will be over. See, a lot of those songs were written in doubt and unbelief. And of course, a lot of those songs were written in a time of persecution and hardship. And so to a lot of those old timers, you know, they wanted to escape those things, and death was a thought of relief to them. But it's not scriptural to say that this life is just one set of miseries after another. Yes, things happen on this earth. Yes, it's a fallen place. But I'll tell you what, that doesn't mean we lose our joy here.
No, that's right. Amen.
We don't lose our hope here. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Now, when we start to understand the redemption, even the physical side of redemption, you know, the Bible says that we are redeemed from sickness and disease. You know, of course, this earth will try to, you know, the enemy will try to put symptoms on your body and try to get things in our body. But we have to understand, if you had a revelation, like, wait a minute, I'm not accepting these symptoms. I've been crucified.
Right.
I'm not accepting this. I'm crucified with Christ.
Yes, that's right.
Get a hold of this. Yes. I'm crucified with Christ. Yes. I'm dead. My life is hidden with Christ in God. Can't make a dead man sick.
That's right.
Get a hold of this. Not going to kill a dead person with disease. Get a hold of this. Come on. Sickness belongs to you no more than it belongs to Jesus after he rose from the dead. It doesn't belong to you. People say, well, oh my goodness, he's saying that I'm a bad person because I'm facing something in my body. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. That's not what I'm saying. Every single one of us have faced things in our body. The devil will constantly knock on your door with symptoms and try to put sickness on your body. But a knowledge of redemption, if you say, wait a minute here, devil, you can't put that on me. I'm not going to allow that because legally speaking, I was on the cross. Legally speaking, I was in the grave. Legally speaking, I rose 3 days after that. Legally speaking, you cannot dominate my flesh anymore. Yeah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Dead people don't worry.
Yes, that's right. They don't worry. That's all.
Come on. They don't worry. No panic in a dead man. You got to get a hold of this. If you just realize how good it is to be dead. I am not trying to make a sacrilegious, you understand.
Yes.
We understand that natural death occurs. And we're not saying it's wrong to mourn the death of a loved one. I'm not going in. I'm talking in legal terms how God sees it.
That's right. That's
you
right.
Understand. So if we laugh and things, it's not to be, you know, insensitive to people that have faced loss. We all have faced loss.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, we do naturally miss our loved ones, and that's not wrong.
Right.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
We understand that.
But
what I'm talking about is legally speaking, when God sees us as dead, it's some real benefit to it. If you start understanding, I'm dead, my life is hid with Christ in God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Dead people don't worry. They don't panic. Yeah. Come on, get a hold of this. I'm dead to worry. I'm dead from discouragement. I'm dead from anxiety. I'm dead from panic. Think about it. Let it soak in. You're dead.
That's right. Amen.
This world can't kill me.
Right.
Can't kill me.
Right.
Right? Of course, I'm going to live a long life, but if my life ended right now, which it's not going to, but if it did, I just go on to higher life.
That's right.
Can't kill me.
Yeah.
That's the awesome thing about redemption. Glory to God. Dead people don't think that money is the source of life. They've left the realm of financial worry.
That is good.
Dead people go into a realm where money is no longer the currency. Faith is the currency of the realm of God.
Yes.
Money doesn't purchase any blessing. Right? Money is a tool to be a blessing. Glory to God. Get a hold of this, somebody. Praise the Lord. People don't think that money is a source of life. They understand that, man, I'm dead. My life is hid with Christ and God. Therefore, I moved into a realm where I can get things that money could never purchase. Because money can't purchase joy, but faith can. Money can't purchase health and healing, but faith can. Glory to God. You know, money can't purchase a restored marriage, but faith can. Glory to God. So you're in a realm now where money is no longer the currency. Money comes to you to be a blessing. Money isn't the blessing. Come on, get a hold of it. Get a hold of it. Why? Because you're dead. Right? Dead people can't take money with them. Just like we are dead and we can't depend on money any longer. Right? Money comes to us to be a blessing. Yeah, that's right. God provides our needs because he loves us. Dead people aren't controlled by their emotions. They've left the realm of emotions. Yeah, oh yeah, if we'd get a hold of this. You know, people say, I had a blue Monday, a sad Tuesday. Black Friday. Black Friday. Well, I'll tell you what. If you understood your redemption, if you're dead, there's no longer the roller coaster ride of the emotions. You know? People will look at you so weird when you are no longer moved by your emotions. People think, sometimes I am weird. You know, man, what's wrong with him? He just seems to have no heart. He's so insensitive. Why? Because I'm not worried and frazzled like you? You want me to jump into that boat with you and start panicking? I know, you're right. That's exactly what the world needs, is another person looking around saying, what are we going to do? Oh, come on now. Have you understood the Lord's crucifixion is your crucifixion? His death is your death. Amen. You're dead. Right. Glory to God. And it's good to be dead. The right kind of dead, you understand. The old nature dead. Right. The old life is dead. The old you is dead. The carnal nature, the sin nature. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Let's move on to the second thing. The second fact of redemption here. The legal fact. Look at verse 20 again. Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. I love that. You know, he just said it. He just demanded it. He put a demand on that redemption. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. He says, nevertheless, I'm alive. He said, I'm alive. Glory to God. But notice, look at what else he says. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Paul, please stop trying to confuse us here. I'm dead in Christ, yet I'm alive, yet I'm not. But Christ lives in me. Let me bring some sense to this. He says, we're crucified with Christ. His death was our death. His crucifixion was our crucifixion. Yet we're alive. Of course, we're alive with the life of God, right? Amen. He says, but it's not you that's alive anymore. It's Christ alive in you. Yes. Here is an awesome fact, all right? Glory to God. Christ lives his life in you. Christ lives his life in you. Amen. You say, well, I just don't feel that way, Pastor Tim. That's your problem. God didn't ask you to feel. He asked you to believe. You will never perceive God with feelings, so stop. You say, oh, but God came into the room and I got goosebumps. Well, I'm not saying that there can't be there is a tangibility of God's presence, but people are always looking for a feeling. Stop looking for a feeling. If there's one thing I've taught around here, it's, you know, stop being so dependent on the emotional realm. Because the emotional realm will let you down over and over and over again. Yeah. Christ lives his life in you. That's the second legal fact of redemption that we're talking about. God legally sees you as dead and hidden in Christ. Can we bring up Colossians 3:3 again? Look what it says. For you are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hidden. What life? Your old life.
Yes. Yes.
It's hidden. What does that mean? God can no longer see it.
Amen.
God no longer looks at your past. He doesn't judge you by your past.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. God does not even see you alive anymore.
Right.
He sees you as dead and only Jesus alive in you.
Amen.
You will walk in freedom when you understand that God legally has decided to stop looking at you and only look at the Jesus who lives in you. Oh, glory to God. Oh, my goodness. Well, why? So no, it's no longer based on your personality. He sees Jesus. It's no longer based on your faults. He sees Jesus. It's no longer based on your past. He sees Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
God decided to do that for you. Glory to God. Oh, but God, don't you see when I get distracted? And God, don't you see? Oh, I missed it here. God, don't you see? No. You are dead.
Right. Amen.
I'm not saying you don't have to confess your faults to one another. The Bible says confess your faults to one to another. The Bible says if we've sinned against God, took 1 John 1:9 to confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, right? Right? Amen. Glory to God. But I'm talking about those things in your life that's not necessarily sin, but those just imperfections in your personality, those glitches, those hiccups. If you think you don't got them, you got the biggest one in the whole place. Like Pastor Michael, he always says, people that think they have no pride stink of it. People that think they have no personality glitches, you have the biggest one in the whole place. Yeah. Oh, come on now. God can no longer see what you used to be. He can only see the redeemed, risen Christ in you. Therefore, you no longer have shame because Jesus has no shame. You no longer have guilt because Jesus has no guilt. Oh, come on now. You have no consciousness of sin any longer. I'll tell you what, this is a freeing aspect of redemption, that you don't have to live with a sin consciousness.
That's right.
People always conscious of their sin. That's why those songs saying, I'm just an old sinner going to glory land. No sinners aren't allowed in glory land.
That's right.
They get booed. They're not welcomed into glory land.
Right.
You know, I'm just an old sinner. I'm just an old this. I'm just, you know, worthless in God's sight. If you said that in the presence of God, he would rebuke you so quick.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. I'm not worthy. I'm not this. Well, you know, you don't have to feel worthy. It doesn't matter how you feel. God says, listen, regardless if you think of you're worthy, he said, I made you worthy.
That's it.
You, redemption. You know what? The definition of redemption is this: to stand before God without any feeling of inferiority.
Yes. That's right.
Without any shame, without any guilt. The Bible says, come before him boldly. Stand before him in that day with great confidence.
Yes, that's right.
Some people, they have this idea. There's people, if you are here today and you have a dread of being in front of God, there's something wrong.
Yeah, right.
Because the Bible says you should be living confidently with him.
Right.
The Bible says that you should know that you're alive in Christ. But if you dread the thought of being with your Father, there's something wrong in your heart. Somewhere along the line, you're living with a sin consciousness. You've let the devil remind you of your faults and your mistakes. He tries to remind me every single day. It doesn't matter. Devil, you might see it. I might see it. The world might see my faults, but God doesn't. Glory to God. So your opinion doesn't matter. Their opinions doesn't matter. Oh, my goodness, get free of the opinions of man. Because it doesn't matter. It only matters what God sees, what he says. And he says, you're dead, but you're alive. But it's not you that's living. It's Jesus in you. And that's the only thing I see.
Yes. Glory to God.
Glory to God. And when Christians get in trouble, it's because they decided to live a different way than what redemption says. They don't live redeemed. They say, oh, I'm redeemed, but then they don't choose to live it. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, I don't understand that. When I got saved, I got saved. You know what I mean? It's impossible for someone to say, I'm saved, but then they just love to be around the sinful things of the world. No, that doesn't fly with God. Of course, it takes time to learn and to, you know, to understand what God has for us and to learn the plan of redemption for our lives. But these people that just say, well, I got one foot in the world, one foot in the church, and, I live my life, in darkness every other part of the day, and then Sunday I go and I live like a Christian. Well, no, the Bible says if there's any darkness in you, it's not of God. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It says there, if you live a life in darkness, you lie against the truth, and the love of God is not in you.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. See, I'm not trying to live for God.
Right.
I'm just living what He made me.
Yes.
You know, I didn't wake up today and say, today I'm going to try to be a man. I figured that one out long ago.
Yeah.
I know there's some confusion in the world today about what it means to be a man. But you shouldn't have to figure it out up here whether you're a man. Look in the mirror. The state of California has passed a law. I'm not trying to get into political things, but it just illustrates my point. They passed a law that if a teenager in school wakes up one day and identifies in his mind that he's really a girl, he can go and use the girls' restrooms in the public schools and the showers. And all of a sudden, a lot of teenage boys are identified with being a girl. And also, if they identify in their minds with being a girl, they can play on the girls' sports teams. Because in my mind, I'm a girl. No, look in the mirror. Take your shorts off and realize that you have equipment that is... Sorry, I'm not trying to be crude. I'm just saying, you're a man. Some of you are like, oh my gosh. You should have seen the look on your faces. I'm not trying to be crude or disgusting or anything.
No.
But just look at yourself.
That's right. That's it.
Yeah. Glory to God, right? So I didn't wake up today and say, man, you know what? I'm going to try to live like a man. No, I see what I am.
Yeah.
Just like the Bible says, look into the perfect law of liberty, see who you are, and just be what you are. I'm not going to try to be righteous. I am righteous. Yeah. You know, it's just that easy. Say, righteous people like the things of God. Say, well, I'm waiting for a feeling to like it. No, I just make a choice. I'm in church because that's what the righteous enjoy, the fellowship of God's people. That's what your spiritual equipment lends to. Just like men are attracted to women. They should be. And if they say, well, it doesn't make sense up here, it doesn't matter. Just look at your body. And that tells you what you're attracted to. I came looking for a politically correct message today, Pastor. You're not going to find too many here. Because all this stuff, the devil makes things so ridiculous. Just look into the Word. I am crucified with Jesus. I don't go back to the old sin because it was on the cross. It went to the grave. I went to the grave. My sinful old self is dead. I don't go back to the dead things.
Right?
Right. You just look and you see who you are. People say, well, you know, I don't see myself as a praise and worshiper. If you look in here, you do.
Yes, exactly.
I don't feel joy. Well, stop trying to feel joy. Look in here, and the Bible says you got joy.
Yes, that's right.
Where people say, I'm waiting to have joy before I believe it. No, God says just look in here and say, I believe I got joy.
Yes.
And you'll start to experience the benefits of joy. Come on now. Look in the mirror, you'll figure out what you are.
That's right. Come on.
In the same way, look into this mirror. Figure out who you are. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. All right. So now that I've made all of you mad at me. Imagine being able to stand in the presence of God, completely confident, without being inferior at all. When I say inferior, I'm talking, obviously man will never ascend to the rank of God. I'm not preaching that. I'm saying without, we'll stand before God without a sin inferiority, without sin consciousness, to boldly come before the Father because we belong there.
That's right. That's
yeah. You know, isn't there something wrong in a home where the children dread the dad? You know? Obviously, a dad needs to be a disciplinarian and lay down the law and things like that. But even you can do that in love. I mean, I discipline my boys, but they love me. They jump into my arms. I mean, we're together all the time. I mean, it's just awesome. But there's something wrong in a home where the parents or, you know, a child sees the dad coming through the door and runs and hides. That's an issue. That's a problem. Just like in the same way, it would be an issue if we keep running and hiding from God. And you feel like, oh, I dread to see him. I dread to be before him. Then there's something wrong. You're living with sin consciousness.
Yeah, right.
You're looking at you instead of the Jesus in you.
Yes. Very good.
I'm just trying to help you. Just trying to help you. Because I'll tell you what, it's so refreshing to realize that it's not based on you anymore. Aren't you glad that Christianity is not a performance base? It's not based on your performance. Just giving you a little heads up.
That's right.
Say, well, I got to perform. Jesus died for me. Listen, if you're trying to perform, that's a problem. Just live what you are. When you live what you are, you'll just praise God freely. When you live what you are, tithing's easy.
Yes.
Right?
That's right?
When you're connected in relationship and your heart is molded to God and he sees Christ in you, it's easy to tithe. It's easy to give.
That's right.
It's easy to sing. It's easy to study the word. But some of you are trying to perform. It's not a performance-based faith. All right, well, I'm glad that went over with great enthusiasm. You were recreated as somebody else. Go back over there to Galatians 2:20. He says, your life is hid with Christ in God. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. When you were born again, you weren't even born a new you. Right? You know? You were recreated as a piece of Jesus himself. Glory to God. How awesome the new birth is. You, as far as God is legally concerned, just when Jesus was on this earth, so are you.
Right. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
None of you, that didn't bless any of you, apparently. Think about it. As Jesus was on this earth, you have all the legal spiritual rights as Christ himself when he was on this earth.
Yes, that's right.
Because you are Christ on the earth.
That's right. Yes,
the head is in heaven. Yes. The body is still on the earth.
Right. Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
If it didn't belong to Jesus when he was here, then it doesn't belong to you.
That's right. Amen.
If it couldn't defeat him while he was here, it can't and shouldn't defeat you.
That's right.
If he overcame it when he was on this earth, so should you.
Yes.
It's the same. If Jesus' faith worked on the earth, so does yours.
That's right.
Everything he had, all the victory that he walked in, every peace of mind, every victory over demonic forces and religious spirits.
That's right.
Glory to God. Right. God sees it as if, oh, come on, get a hold of this.
Yeah.
When Jesus was on the earth, he was one man filled with the Spirit. The head and the body were all locked up in one being that could only be in one place at a time.
That's right.
Oh, glory to God. But when Jesus dies and rose again and he led many sons to glory, now there's thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions and billions of Jesuses on the earth.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
We were reproduced in the likeness of Jesus Christ.
Yes, come on. That's right.
And it gave the devil the proverbial, you know, whatever I was going to say. It just frazzled his mind. He tried to kill the Son of God, and when he did, millions of sons of God.
That's right.
You know, there's a certain spider. It's actually out in California. I'm sure it's in other places too, but there was a minister who was talking about this. It was there was a spider at the Dufresne's Church out there in California. And this lady, this minister's wife, or she was ministering in the school, and she had seen this spider, and ooh, yuck, you know. And so she decided to take some authority over the creeping things of the earth, and boom, she smushed that spider. And when she did, hundreds of little baby spiders went just scattered out of it, because there's a spider out there that contains its young in its body, and when it is squashed, it releases hundreds. I'm sorry, some of you are like, okay, my illustrations have been questionable today. I understand it. Remember, this is the first Sunday after Thanksgiving. I had the turkey like you did, the pumpkin pie like you did, okay? Well, it's better than my sister-in-law, who thought that deer have feathers. You didn't think I was going to break that one out. I was helping Matt and Sarah get a Christmas tree with my truck yesterday, and of course it's hunting season, and I've had a rather successful hunting season, and I carry my success in the bed of my truck to the butcher shop, and there might have been some remnants in the bed of my truck, which is just natural, okay, and they wanted a Christmas tree in there, but they didn't want it to bring home anything with it. And Sarah had asked me to, you know, if I could stop by the car wash and spray out the feathers. As soon as she said it at lunch, we were all there with family at lunch. I said, oh, wait, hold on. I am going to jump on that. I'm going to use that for life. All right, now that we totally lost our place in this message. Glory to God. God doesn't see you. He sees Jesus. Even when we say dumb things like feathers on a deer. Glory to God. Aren't you glad to be redeemed? Hallelujah. I was making the point that when the devil thought he had Jesus dead, it just created millions of us.
Yes,
glory to God. Every legal right that Jesus had on the earth, so do you.
That's right.
That's how deep your redemption goes.
Yes.
Jesus could step into the presence of the Father at any given moment.
Yes, that's right.
So can we.
That's right.
Jesus could command demons to leave people. So can we. Jesus could place his hand on the sick and expect them to be healed. So can we. And the reason why people don't live in their redemption, because they don't feel that they've been redeemed to the level of Christ on this earth. And you never will experience it until you understand your legal place with God. God said, I see you as Christ. I see you as legally my representative on the earth. I see you as my ambassador. I see you as having dominion over demons. I see you as having power over sickness and disease. I see your old life is crucified, and now I only see Jesus in you. God said, you owe me no more debt. There's no fault that I'll look at. I won't hold you accountable for your past. Glory to God. My goodness, get a hold of this. It'll free up your life. Hallelujah. Here's also what we have. Listen, real quickly. We have freedom from judgment. We're free from shame. We're free from guilt. We're free from the judgment of God. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:9 that we are not appointed unto wrath. Oh my goodness. Now, of course, as a Christian, if you decide to go out and live like the devil, well then, you'll bring yourself under judgment. The Bible says, he that eats and drinks of the cup and the bread unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself. If you decide to live something other than what you are, then you're going to invite that judgment into you. Isn't God trying to judge you? You brought it on yourself. Right? We are free from Satan's dominion. Glory to God. Can you bring up Colossians 1:13 real quick? We see these scriptures, Colossians 1:13. Talk about God and what he's done for us. God who has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has. Notice it's all past tense. He delivered us and has already translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Praise the Lord. How about Romans 6:14? Can you bring that up? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Yes. Praise the Lord. We are free from judgment. We are free from Satan's dominion. Satan has no more a right to reign over you than Pharaoh did when Israel went into Canaan. When they were free, when they moved into Canaan and out of Egypt, Pharaoh could no longer rule them. In the same way, even politically today, the Prime Minister of Canada isn't making decisions that are affecting your life. No offense, Joe. You know the Canadian joke was going to come out eventually. It had been a few weeks, so we got to keep a healthy diet of Canadian jokes. Joe, it's the best state in the Union. It's wonderful. 51st state. I'm kidding. Joe, you're the best thing I know from Canada. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Right? That means our bodies are no longer under the dominance of Satan. Right? Praise the Lord. Our minds are no longer under his control. We do not have to be entangled with bondage of the old life. Amen. Aren't you glad? You're free. You're free. Anything that Satan tried to hold over you, it's gone. You're dead. You're risen in Christ. Glory to God. God doesn't see your faults. He doesn't look at your sins. He sees Jesus who's alive in you, Jesus living in your laundry. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. And if you're worried and panicked, you don't realize you've been crucified.
That's right.
If you're afraid all the time, you don't realize you've been crucified. Right. Yeah. If you're trying to perform and feeling guilty before God, you don't realize you've been crucified.
That's right. Amen.
Get a hold of this. This is where freedom comes from. People say, well, man, Pastor Tim, you know, we laugh a lot and stuff, and maybe we carry it too far. Listen, joy is a good thing. And of course, you know I'm going to use the scapegoat. You know, Proverbs 17:22, the merry heart does good look like a medicine. You know, it's good to laugh. And the reason why some of you aren't laughing in life is because you don't know how free you are. You know, the reason why you don't have a sense of humor, the reason why you're so burdened and you're carrying things and carrying cares and worries and trying to impress everybody and worried about what people are thinking about you, and you're always guarding your reputation because someone's opinion is going to be thought of you. You haven't gotten a revelation of who you are in Christ. When you get a hold of the things that we're sharing today, this is when things are going to change around you. You're going to realize that you are a Jesus man, Jesus woman. You are literally the legal representation of Christ on this earth. What would you do if you could do the things that Jesus could do when he was here? Let's go ahead and be bold with this. Let's be bold. How many of you believe, I mean you sincerely believe, that you can do everything Jesus did when he was on this earth? See your hand. Oh, you see that? You know, the hands that were up had the bent elbow. That means you believe the theology of it, but it hasn't soaked into your being. Theologically, I believe I can do everything that Jesus did, so I'll do the half hand raise. Some of you are still doing that during praise and worship. You look like you're giving an oath. Why don't we just take a little minute here, go to John chapter 14, and just see what Jesus said. Because we'd better see more than a third of the hands, and 90% of the hands that went up were half-cocked. Theologically, I believe it, but it hasn't registered in your being yet. Yeah. Some of you are like, well, I can't lay hands on the sick. I haven't had a spiritual enough week yet. Well, there you go again. Oh, I can't anoint some of the... I can't command the devil to leave. I can't cast out devils. I can't do these things because I haven't been very good lately. I haven't arrived at some spiritual pinnacle. Well, then you'll never accomplish what God has for you. John chapter 14, verse 12. The words are read in my Bible because Jesus is speaking, and we'll end here. Jesus says, can we bring that up? Do we have it? Oh, yeah. He says, verily, verily. The word literally in the Greek for verily is the Greek word where we get our word amen. It means here is the highest form of truth. Literally, Jesus is saying that. Here is the highest form of truth. I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Do we have anyone that believes on Jesus here?
Yes.
Oh, now the hands are up. The elbows aren't bent on that one. See? Because we've lost our religious mindset about, we know we're free in Christ. We know that we've received Jesus. And that's wonderful. We don't doubt that. But we doubt the rest of the verse. The works that I do shall he do also. Can you do what Jesus did on this earth? Raise your hand. Yeah. But let's go on and keep reading because the verse isn't over. And greater works than these shall he do. Now that's just blasphemy. How dare anyone ever believe that they can do what Jesus did in greater works than he did? Jesus said, you can do greater works than these that I do because I go unto my Father. He said, now that I go to the Father, the Holy Ghost can be sent to this earth. And the Spirit of God in the body of Christ as a whole can do more than what Jesus did when he was on this earth. You will never do higher quality works than Jesus. But in terms of quantity, we together, even just one church or a chain of churches or the body of Christ across the world, can do way more than Jesus ever did on this earth. We can win way more souls. We can preach to way more people. We can give way more money. We can be way more, you know what I mean? You understand?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're sitting here and you're one of those half-cocked hands, it's because you haven't gotten a revelation that legally God sees you as Jesus on this earth. So, well, how do I lay hands on the sick? There's only one way, boldly.
Yeah, that's good.
Of having a knowledge, like, I'm going to lay hands on the sick because it's not me laying hands on the sick. It's the body of Christ laying hands on the sick.
Amen.
I'm going to cast out devils, not because it's me that has that power, but Jesus lives in me, therefore I cast out devils.
Amen.
You getting a little something out of this here today?
Amen.
If you understood that your redemption equals Jesus on this earth, you'd be bold.
Amen.
You'd win the lost. You'd heal the sick.
Right.
What did Jesus tell the 70? He said, I'm sending you out. He said, I want when you go into these cities, villages, and town, I want you to preach the kingdom. I want you to raise the dead,
yes.
Heal the sick,
yes.
Cure the brokenhearted.
That's
and they came back and they said, Master, even the devils are subject to us in your name.
Yes.
He said, yeah, but in this don't rejoice, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. He said, listen, you have a greater thing to rejoice about because your name is written in heaven. Meaning it was a greater accomplishment in the eyes of God that you had confidence that you're going to heaven someday.
Yeah.
If you can believe that you're going to heaven someday, it should be easy to believe that you can cast out devils and heal the sick.
Very good. Yeah. Amen.
He said, don't rejoice in this. Right? You remember that over there? What is it? Matthew chapter 17? He said, in this don't rejoice. It's actually Luke chapter 10 also. Luke chapter 10, he said, don't rejoice just in the fact that you can cast out demons. Just rejoice that your names are written. He said, it's normal that you should be casting out devils. It's normal that you should be curing the sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, why? Because Jesus sent them out as his legal representatives, just like he has sent us out as his legal representatives. Redemption is a legal fact in the eyes of God. He doesn't see you as you. He sees you as Christ himself.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. Father, thank you for our redemption. Thank you, Father, that we can see who we